Welcome to Tori Mecha, Nach Yomi, with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel, Perek of Daled, Chapter 24. Last Perek painted a dark picture of the sisters, Ohala and Ohaliva, Yisrael and Yehuda, who both rebelled against Hashem and both received a devastating punishment. Here, Perek of Daled, Yechezkel's last Perek of Tochacha, Rebuke, begins as it ends, with two ma'asim simliim, two symbolic actions, which form a bookend's structure to his section of rebuke and a vote about the Churban. The parak begins on a very particular date. Vahi dvar Hashem elai, v'shana ha-tshi'it, v'chodesh ha-asiri, v'asor l'chodesh le'mor. Hashem's word came to me on the 9th month, on the 10th of the month. And this is what Hashem said. We know this day, this 10th day of the 9th month, as Asara B'Teves, the fast day that we observe to commemorate the siege that the Babylonians created around the city of Yerushalayim. Sidkiyahu's rebellion is ostensibly over. The Babylonians have besieged the city, and it's going to be a siege that will last for 2 years until the 11th year of Sidkiyahu on Tisha B'Av, when they will destroy the Beit HaMikdash. And Hashem tells Yechezkel in Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Ben Adam, Ketov lecha et shem hayom hazeh et etzem hayom hazeh samach melech bavel el yushalayim be'etzem hayom hazeh. Son of man, write the name of this day, this very same day. The king of Babylon drew close to Yerushalayim on this same day. This nevuah is happening on Asara B'Teves. The siege is now. Everything that Yechezkel prophesied is coming true before his eyes. Yechezkel is told to write the date down so that when the siege actually happens, everyone will know that this date was the beginning of the end. This is the only place after Sefer Yehoshua that we have the phrase Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And what happens in Tanakh, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, is a very important list. In Chumash, Noach goes into the Teva. Avraham gives Yishmael a Brit Milah. Yitziat Mitzrayim happens Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, on this very day. Yom Kippur is described as Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and Hashem tells Moshe he will die. There are two other instances that come from Sefer Yehoshua. They have a Pesach ceremony, and they set up the rocks that ultimately show and testify to the Jews coming into Eretz Yisrael. All of these times are very auspicious times, but they're also times of transition. There is a before and an after. You don't go back. Once Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh happens, everything changes. And here, once this day happens, Yechezkel stops giving this type of nevuah. His role as a Navi that is going to tell Bnei Yisrael that it was Hashem that was going to bring the punishment, V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, you should know that I am Hashem, and that you are being punished for your sins, that role is now over. The punishment is here. There's no going back. After this, writing down the day, Yechezkel gives a nevuah that includes a mashal, an allegory. And he says to the people, mashal et Beit HaMeri, mashal, Hashem says, tell them an allegory. Va'amarta alehem, ko amar Hashem Elokim. Shefot hasir shefot, v'gam yitzok bo mayim. Put up a big pot and pour water into it. He then tells them that the pot is going to contain the best meat, the best bones, and it will be full of water. And then the fire is built up in Pasuk Yud. Harbei ha'itzim, hadlei ka'esh, put a lot of wood there, light the fire, and everything in the pot is going to become completely boiled and burnt. This last mashal of the Tochacha is clearly a response to the saying, the mashal, that people used to say in Yerushalayim, which we learned about in Perek 11, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Ha'omrim, lo b'karov b'nok batim, hi hasir, anachnu ha'basar. It's not going to happen anytime soon. We gave different explanations of what b'nok batim was, build houses, but the people in Yerushalayim would say, hi hasir, anachnu ha'basar, the city is the pot, and we are the meat. And that was something that they meant to say, the city of Yerushalayim will protect us. And what Yechezkel is doing here is he's talking about the pot not as a protection, but as boiling. When the Babylonians are besieging the city is the pot and the Babylonians on their fire. And now the fire is building and building and everything inside the city is going to get boiled and burnt. This saying that people would say, "Hi hasir va'anachnu habasar," is now being overturned. The sir nafuach, the boiling pot of Yirmiyahu, his opening nevuah in Parak Aleph of Yirmiyahu, is being actualized. The fire in the city is described not just as a fire but burn that burns, but also one that purifies. It will burn until Pasuk 11, v'netachta b'tocha tumata titum chalata, that the filthiness inside will be burnt, that the rust will be consumed. There's a certain sense of cleaning the city, of purifying the city. And only when all of this uncleanliness of the city is burnt out, only then will the fire stop. And Yechezkel describes in this mashal the sins of the people and why there needs to be so much fire and burning. He says in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Ki damavetocha haya al tzachiach sela shematu. There's blood in her midst. She set it on the bare rock. Lo shefachtu al ha'aretz l'chasot olav afar. She didn't even pour the blood on the ground to cover the blood with dust, like you're supposed to. Rather, pasuchet l'halot chema l'nkon nakon. It's my wrath is coming up. I am coming to take vengeance. Natati etama al tzachiach sela. I have set her blood on the bare rock. Levilti ha'chasot, and now her blood is not going to be covered. Rav Amnon Bazak connects this pasuk to the first murder, where Cain kills Hevel, and Hashem tells him, Ki dmei achicha tzoakim alecha min ha'adama. Your brother's blood is calling out to you from the ground. Yechezkel discussed the sins of the city, the way that they would pervert the justice system, take advantage of the weak, and even kill their own children in the service of idolatry. Now that blood in the ground, like the blood of Hevel, is calling for vengeance. Again, it is the sins, not Hashem, who ultimately call for a response. Blood cannot be spilled and lie uncovered forever. Yerushalayim ultimately is now a city of injustice, and the leadership participated in this injustice and covered it up. Now the blood is calling from the earth to be recognized, and the weak city, with no good people to defend it, has nothing to respond. The word damim is repeated over and over in this pasuk, the blood, the blood. It reminds us of chapter 18 in Yechezkel, the way that Yechezkel described the Rasha, the evil person. And Yechezkel said, "Beneshech natan v'tarbit lakach v'chai," a person who lends with interest and is corrupt, that person should live? Lo yechya. No, they can't live. Et kol ha-toivot ha-ela asa mot yumat. After a list of sins that this Rasha, this wicked person did, Yechezkel in his chapter about Torah HaGemul, about how Hashem punishes, Yechezkel says, this person needs to die. Damav bo yehiyeh. His blood is on his own head. Now the city is being characterized as a Rasha. All of these terrible sins that the city did, its blood is on its own head. After the devastating picture of the destruction of the Chorban, Yechezkel is told to perform one more ma'aseh simli, one more symbolic action. This last bookended ma'aseh simli is even more startling and even more terrible than any of the ones he's done before. Hashem says, "Ben Adam, hineni lokeach mimcha et machmad einecha b'magefa." Son of man, I am taking from you the glory of your eyes in a plague. Velotis bod, velotich tivke. You will not eulogize and you will not cry. Velotavo dematecha, and your tears will not come. Hashem tells Yechezkel that his wife is going to die in a plague and that Yechezkel is not allowed to mourn. First, just to stop and realize that this whole time that we've been reading the Sefer, Yechezkel was married. We would never have known that if not for this nevuah. So the whole time that he was going through all of this difficult nevuot, he had machmad einecha by the desire of his eyes, the way that the pasuk describes Yechezkel's wife, is telling to us that Yechezkel's wife was a support for him as he was going through all of these difficult nevuot that he had to give over. The pasuk is very difficult. Did his wife die because of this nevuah? Was she the ultimate symbolic action? So that mikra comments that the fact that it adds the word magefa, that she died in a plague, means that she didn't die because of the nevuah. Rather, she died because of a plague, and other people died in it as well. This would highlight the fact that Yechezkel is not going to mourn, because a lot of people are mourning their dead because of this disease or this plague, and assumingly they would come visit Yechezkel to visit him in his mourning as well. So the Maaseh Simli is not that she died. That was the situation he was in anyway, but rather that he's not going to mourn. And Hashem tells him in verse 17, Ha'anik dam meitim eva lo ta'aseh, pi'archa chavosh alecha, v'na'alecha tasim v'raglecha, v'lo ta'te'al safam v'lechem anashim lo tuchal. Don't do any signs of mourning. Don't sigh. Don't mourn for the dead. Put your head on. Apparently, they would take put your hat on. They would take their head coverings off. Put shoes on your feet. Don't cover your lips. Don't eat people's bread. So Rashi explains that all of this, when it says to uncover his head, it means that he should wear tefillin. And Rashi writes that all of these commandments that Yechezkel is told not to do are commandments for mourning, and you should do the opposite. A mourner is forbidden to wear tefillin or shoes. He's required to wrap his head, and they serve him the first meal from the food belonging to others. And Yechezkel is not allowed to partake in any of those signs of mourning. The people clearly notice Yechezkel's actions, and they come and they ask him, what's he doing? Why isn't he going through the process of mourning for his beloved wife? And Yechezkel explains the meaning of the Maaseh Simli to the people. Pasuk of Aleph 21. Emor lebei Yisrael, kol amar Hashem Elokim, hineni mechalel et miktashi, ga'on uzechem, machmad einechem, umachamal nafshechem. I am going to now profane my Beit HaMikdash, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, that which your soul longs for. And your sons and daughters that you've left behind shall fall by the sword. These are people that left Eretz Yisrael. They have family members there. And they're going to die and they're going to lose the Beit HaMikdash. And says Yechezkel Pazikav Bet, Vasitem Kasher Asiti, you are going to do what I did. Al Safam Lo Tatu V'lecham Anashim Lo Tochlu, you won't cover your lips. You won't eat bread of other people, meaning you also won't mourn. Upa'archem al rashechem v'na'alechem v'raglechem. You're also going to uncover your heads, and you're also going to wear shoes. Lo tispedu, you're not going to mourn. You won't say eulogies. Lo tivchu, you won't cry. V'namaktem ba'avonotechem, and you're going to pine away in your sins. V'nahamtem ish elachav, and you're going to moan one person to the other. Says Yechezkel, my Maaseh Simli means that just like I was not able to mourn for my wife, you will not be able to mourn for the Beit HaMikdash and for all the people who were killed in Eretz Yisrael. Such a strange Maaseh Simli, very upsetting. Why would Hashem not want people to mourn the Beit HaMikdash? So Rashi gives two answers. And he says one answer is because when you mourn and go through all of these symbols of mourning, it's really to be consoled. And now there's no consolers. Nobody isn't going through this. So everyone is just shocked. And the other example is that Rashi says that maybe they were going to be scared to mourn like this because they're in Bavel and they have to think about what are the Babylonians going to say when they go through this huge process of mourning of something that the Babylonians did. Rav Amnon Bazak posits that not mourning is actually much harder than mourning. The specifics of avilut allow people a structure to deal with their grief and pain and for others to comfort them. And what Yechezkel is saying is that the Chorban will be so terrible that even this structure will not exist and there will be no way forward, no structure that can possibly hold their pain. That's how terrible the loss will be for them, the Chorban, and the people dying in Eretz Yisrael. And once again, Yechezkel with his own self is an embodiment of Hashem's will. Perhaps this one is the hardest of all of him, of all of them. His body is a Maaseh Simli that represents him doing what Hashem wants him to do. Pasuk Havdalet Vahaya Yechezkel Lachem Lemofet. Yechezkel is a symbol for you. Kol Asher Asa Ta'asu. Everything that he does, you will do. Bevo'ah, when it comes, B'yadatem Ki Ani Hashem. You will know that I am Hashem. The ultimate purpose for Yechezkel's prophecy. In the last section of this Nevoah, Psukim 25 to 27, Kaf Hei to Kaf Zayin, Hashem tells Yechezkel of the day after the Chorban, when the first survivor makes his way to Bavel to share the heartbreaking news. Va'ata ben Adam, Pasuk Kaf Hei, halo bayam kachti mehem et mu'uzam, misos tefartam et machmad einehem, masa nafsham b'nehem unotehem. On that day, when I take away your glory, when I take away the thing that you desire the most, and also your children, v'yom hahu, on that day, yavo hapalit elecha, one person will escape, and he's going to come to you, l'hashmi'u daznayim, and he's going to tell you what he saw. He'll tell you the terrible news. Bayom hahu, on that day, says Hashem, yipatach picha et hapalit utedaber velo te'alem od. Your mouth is going to be opened by this person who escaped, and now you can speak, and you no longer have to be mute. Vahayita lahem lemofet, you will be a sign for them, v'yed'u ki ani Hashem, and they will know that I am Hashem. This is the end of Yechezkel's Tochacha. Perhaps we had forgotten that in Perek Gimel, Hashem told Yechezkel, "Ulishona adbik al chekecha v'ne amlanta v'lo tiyalem li'ish mochiach ki beit merihima." Your tongue will cleave to the roof of your mouth, and you will be silent, and you will not be a person who gives tochacha, who gives rebuke, because they are a rebellious house. All this time, for the past 5 years, Yechezkel has only been speaking the words of the nevuah that Hashem told him to do. He is not the Navi who gives tochacha. He is the tzofeh. He is the one who knows what's going to happen. His role primarily is for afterwards, for Bavel, for the survivors. His words will probably not improve them in the short term, but in the long term, they will be crucial. Hence, he has withheld any of his own reproach and only said the words and done the actions that Hashem wanted him to do. Now with the Chorban, he is released from his bond. He does not have to be mute any longer. Now he can give other kinds of nevuah, which are upcoming in the Sefer. His job as a mofet, as a tzofeh, as an oat, as a mute are over. He has done and completed this difficult task. This ending is not what we hoped. We hoped Yirmiyahu and the other Nevi'im in Israel would prevail. We hoped that the Jews would heed their words and change their ways. But at least now that the end has arrived, it is understood why it happened. V'yedatem ki ani Hashem. You will know that I am Hashem. And we can rebuild and we can become once again the nation that we are supposed to be. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Abraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.